Reaching Profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center, at the clocker stand. We've got a fan on.
I think it was too loud, so I moved it up and turned it down a notch so it doesn't sound like there's a fan on.
Well, I appreciate that.
Actually,
fan.
I know.
I tell you,
it's a good way to get your arm broke, try to take that fan.
Problem is, you know, although we have a balcony here on the clocker stand, you stand out there in the summer, you know, and you can't really get out of the sun. And
right.
It gets a little hairy out there.
Yeah, we used to show some from out there, but the wind.
Yeah, the wind blows all my
mic.
Yeah, wind blows that, and my papers would go everywhere, and I'd cuss on the air, and I got threatened by the FCC, and, you know, everything was like
baloney.
That.
Baloney.
Yeah. All right, well, what are we doing today, I should say? Well, Chuck Peary's going to come on. Chuck is training out here right now. He usually trains at Keeneland, but he's going to come out here where he can condition a horse right. he's from the West Coast. And but they're living down in Woodford County now, and I think they've bought a farm or something down there. So we're going to sit down and talk a little bit with Chuck. Seems like a very nice guy. And let's see, Dr. Doug Byers, Michael Blowen will be by. We're going to see if we can get a hold of Steve Moody. See if he's going to win the Woodward Stakes today. You know, that race isn't as old as you think it was. I think the first inaugural meet race was in 23, I believe.
Huh.
Anyway.
Yesterday.
Yeah, just the other day. Yeah, you know.
Ressie's smiling. We got a big chuckle out of Ressie for that.
Yeah, Joe Palmer, we're going to read a little bit of Joe Palmer if we got a shot. We're talking about, still talking about three olds in 1957. And I want to talk about Promised Land, who was by Palestinian, and Manto, who was a citation. And, of course, Jackie's going to do her announcements. Let's see, how have we done? Since the last show, we have had 11 winners from the Thoroughbred Center, and they were trained by, see, I'll give you the last night's first since they're on top. Yesterday, Oscar Medica.
Thank you for the donuts.
Yeah, Oscar brought by donuts. Hillman Jackson won one. He never brings by donuts. And let's see who else. John Gaver. John was up here a little bit earlier, and that's a very famous racing name. He's the fourth, by the way. John Gaver the fourth. Of course, his grandfather was a Hall of Famer, and his father was a leading trainer. They both trained for Greentree. And his father ended up, I think, as a racing official somewhere. But
Old trainers never die.
He trained Stage Door Johnny in Late Bloomer. Yeah, and some top horses for Greentree. Of course, his grandfather trained Tom Fool. That's enough right there to get you in the Hall of Fame. Who else? Paul McAtee. He saddled two winners in the same day, one at Hoosier and one at Mountaineer. Wayne Mogey sent one up to Presque Isle and won. Mark Hubley won one at Mountaineer. Wayne Mogey came back and won one at Ellis. Scooter Hughes won one at Mountaineer. Did I plug him? He ran one the other day at Arlington. Scooter did, too. I think I missed that. It's kind of hard to pick up winners at Arlington sometimes. But anyway, he took a horse named Sharp Finish up there. And that's spelled F-I-N-N-I-S-H. That's a clocker's nemesis there,
uh-huh.
You know. I mean,
yes, it is.
You get your spelling wrong. Paul Brown won with Silver Daddy of Mine at the Mountain. Mort Shirazi won one at Hoosier. Let's see, who else have I got there? I guess that's it.
And the two on the front page, did you say that?
Yeah, and I gave you those already. That was Oscar Modica and Helmut.
Oh, yeah.
Jack. 11 since last show. That's pretty good for you.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Had a lot of gate works, I noticed, this morning. I guess gates closed on
I don't know how many
Sunday and Monday, but
looks like we had about,
it's going to rain, so
I would say, guess, about 45
works.
Wouldn't that be right, Ashley? Something like that.
About that.
About 45 works this morning. Everybody worked early before the break because, you know, it's so darn hot out here now. Hot everywhere right now.
I know.
Yeah. Jackie, you want to start in on those?
Oh, okay. Things? I can do that.
Might as well.
Wake up over here.
Till Doc and...
All right. Grade 1 winner Albertus Maximus is going to Shadwell to stud. He won the 09 Don Handicap and the 08 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. What they're going to do, Kent Barnes is the guy you call, they're going to waive the 2012 stud fee. Plus that, they're going to give a $5,000 bonus to the first black type winner.
Oh.
So that's kind of a good marketing thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kent Barnes is 224-48-45-85. That's out at Shadwell.
They just announced that late yesterday, didn't they? Yesterday.
Yeah. So, and this is for our friend Ralph Quillen, if you want to hold that. There will be a party in the paddock at Keeneland, hosted by Keeneland, CBA, KTOB, and NTRA, Wednesday, September 14th, from 6:30 to 8:30, right after the sale. Casual cocktails in the paddock. They're going to have an open bar, live music, and
casual,
snacks.
Casual cocktails?
Yeah. Or you make you drink a few and you're casual, and you don't care.
Right.
So anyway, it's Peter Kerwin's here. He said he went last time. He said the food was good. Enjoyed himself. So
Peter, to quote him, says free beer and good food.
There you go. Yeah. So if you want more or you want an RSVP, call Vicki Garcia at the KTA, KTOB out at Horse Park, 381-1414. Also, there's some kind of famous horse exhibit that's coming to the horse park. It'll come in October 22nd, run up through spring, April 6th. It's American Museum of Natural History collection of horse stuff. It's horse sculpture and painting and art and stuff from all over the world. It's a pretty famous collection. It was kind of a coup to get that.
A coup.
3-day farm, huge used tack and equipment sale, Saturday, September 24th. This place is on Fisher's Mill out in Midway. Now, why am I doing this? Because 10% of the total sales will be donated to the Masterson Equestrian Trust. You know, that's the trust that helps keep up, clean up, fix the jumps and stuff out at Masterson, which is a jewel. So, if you want more information, 3-day farm is 396-7543. Now, Lucinda Green is coming for a clinic October 11th and 12th in Lexington. She was big-time member of the British Olympic team for a long time. I saw her out here when they competed. I guess 3-day is where I saw her. That was when Lord Snowden or whatever his name, you know, Princess Margaret's husband was that. The father of those girls during the wedding, if you watched the British wedding on television, remember Prince got married and the princess and all that junk, and there was that girl with a really goofy, strange hat stuck up in the air? That was his kid. Anyway, Lucinda Green's coming, and this doesn't happen all that often. It's October 11th and 12th, $375 for both days. It includes lunch, and they're going to only have 20 riders, so you need to call Lisa Malloy, who has the devil's phone number. It's 595-6660. Lisa runs the New Vocation racetrack rehab place for thoroughbreds. Does a wonderful job, too. She gets them adopted, and it's just amazing what she does. Anyway, her number, Lisa Malloy, 595-6660. That was good news. Here's bad news. First 2011 equine West Nile virus case confirmed. It's a standard bred, 6-year-old mare. She's in Fleming County. Got West Nile. And I don't think they vaccinated her. At least they don't know about if they did. But anyway, that's get that you know, you have to have a good vaccination program, especially if you go anywhere with your horses. It's important. Okay, the 2011 Secretariat Festival honoring Penny Chenery and the legend of Secretariat will be September 23rd and 24th in Paris. We went last year. It's a lot of fun. Lafitte Pink Eye will be there, as and Penny Chenery's coming again. That's nice.
Yeah, signing autographs.
Yeah.
I think the old jockey, too, is coming.
Lafitte Pink Eye.
No.
Oh.
Well, the one
who
wrote
was it.
It?
Oh, Ronnie Turcotte.
Ronnie Turcotte, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's coming. And, Well, Pat Day and Lafitte Pink Eye are coming. That's nice. It starts on Friday, September 23rd, with a Paris Art Walk, 5 to 9. And a Maker's Mark Celebrity Barrel Main Auction. The barrels are hand-painted, and then they're going to auction. That's fun. That's all free. This is at the fairgrounds. And then Saturday, they will have an autograph session with all the people we've talked about, 10:30 in the morning, and Claiborne's having tours, and they will take off from the fairgrounds from the Sosby Arena. There you are. And they're going to have a Secretariat gallery. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on. We went last year, and it was very nice. And we got there late. So, Adam Bowman.
Oh, yeah.
School kid.
Good morning, guys. I got to talk about my
I saw that race. Oh, my gosh. You won by... It was unbelievable. When he won the race, he paid $100 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Adam Bowman.
Wait, at Ellis Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, he paid $93.80. He found the rail, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And you know, he rode one the next day and paid $18.
I know, I had that one. I'm learning my lesson.
And
bet him blind.
Did you bet on the one that ran second that paid $53 the place?
No, I should have, though. Kid's unbelievable.
Did you watch him ride that race?
Yes.
How did he look to you?
Fabulous. He didn't move.
I know. He's
as quiet as a church mouse on that horse. I mean, he's really, I mean, I don't want to overpraise him. He's so young. There'll be time enough for this, but he's really going to be good this
it's
kid.
It's not going to go to that kid's head.
Yeah,
that kid is
he's
got
special.
His head on straight. I'm glad you got to see that because yeah. I didn't see it in person. I just pulled a chart.
I'm into River Downs, too. We have Old Friends Day on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Cradle Stakes Day and Old Friends Day at River Downs.
Wow.
It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
Huh?
Okay. Sounds really good to me.
Oh, he's got to do a commercial. He's looking at his watch. Either that or he wants to call it home. I don't know what he's doing.
Help. Call for help.
Well, I was going to say something about Adam. That's Adam Bowman. You know, he's going. Chris was on last week, McCarron, and he said that the kid was going to go to Philadelphia and ride up there. And he went it up there with Dean Service.
Yes.
Yeah. But didn't get to ride any. And then he rode five winners at River Downs. And then I looked in the next day after I talked to Chris, and there he is, you know, riding at Ellis Park. But that meeting's about to close, and he's going to Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Because Philadelphia's, I think, closed now, aren't they?
No, they're running.
They are?
Yeah. But all Penn National and Par X both are running. Trust me. At least they ran last night. All right, he's looking up the form now.
He's not going to believe you.
No, I do. I just want to check it for our listeners.
Well, no, I'm not going
to be 99%
sure,
but these people depend on you for information.
Misinformation, obviously. Good luck to them. Anyway, but I like the comment, you know, on that $93 horse that he won with up there. It says, was allowed to settle, angled in to save ground, got through ending the stretch and wore down the leaders and edge clear late. But, you know, he found the rail.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yep. And he did the same thing the next day. He said, save ground, shifted out entering the stretch, split horses and finished willingly to earn the... Well, that's the one he got beat in place. That was big time. John Gaber win that race from here. Oh, here we go. Settle saving ground, got through, wore down the leaders, and edge clear late on that one, too.
You know, you can see some of these young guys that ride, and when they get on a speed horse, they're fine, but you seldom see one that's as sophisticated as he is about riding these stalkers and closers and timing his moves.
And when they sit still like that, horses are running.
You know, and let's face it, he's not exactly getting them. Pardon?
Oh, my God,
that's
no.
That's why they're 50 to 1.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. Why they're paying boxcars. He's got 4 mounts down there today.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
All right, that's my pick 4.
I think the best one he's riding just got beat 17 lengths the last time.
he'll move him up at least 10.
All right. Oh, well, with 2 weekends of racing, it's 2 Grade 1 stakes winners and a Grade 2 stakes winner, all 3 side by Warfront. A day before yesterday, the Grade 2 with Anticipation Stakes was won by State of Play, a 2-year-old colt. He is by Warfront. And let's see, August the 20th, Summer Soiree takes the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. And August the 28th, The Factor wins the Grade 1 Pat O'Brien. Both those at Del Mar, incidentally. The Factor, making his first start in 19 weeks and facing older horses for the first time, led at every point of call and covered the 7 furlongs, 1:22-2, just 2/5 of a second off the track record. He's being pointed to either the Breeders' Cup Sprint or the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Now, Pat O'Brien was the Factor's 3rd graded stakes win. He captured the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn and the Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes earlier this year. He also sprinted 6 furlongs in a blistering 1:06-4 on the dirt at Santa Anita. In a State of Play, was bred by Stone Farm and Dale Hand. He's undefeated in 2 starts. This is an awful good 2-year-old. A leading second crop sire with 9 2011 stakes winners, Warfront, is by the great sire Danzig, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Watch for the Warfront yearlings at the upcoming Keeneland sales, and for more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams out at Claiborne. The website is claibornefarm.com.
Sally Fan Service has been hauling some of the world's most valuable thoroughbreds for nearly 6 decades. Kentucky Derby winners, Preakness winners, Belmont Stakes winners, Breeders' Cup winners. The list of great horses transported by Sally Vans is nearly endless. And that's not counting the hundreds of thousands of breeding shed trips and sales trips down through the years. But here's a promise from Sally Van Service. The care given your shipper, whether it's a pony clubber headed to the horse park or a favorite for the run for the roses, will be second to none. You can rest assured that our vans are in superior condition, and that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. That's the way we do business at Sally Van Service. And that's why, for nearly 6 decades, Sally Van Service has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Bob and John, Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic, they stand at Pin Oak Stud. Cowboy Cal's a multiple graded stakes winner. He won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. And Millionaire, he also won $1 million. He's by the nation's leading sire, Giants Causeway, out of a daughter seeking the goal from a sturdy black-type family. His first foals arrive this year. They're knockouts. But you can find yearlings by Bob and John, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic at the Keeneland September sales. Bob and John is a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000 by seeking the goal out of the graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister. He won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and was a top-class graded runner at 2, 3, and 4. His first crop 2-year-olds are showing run. 4 of them have won, and all 4 hitting the board in their first starts, and 4 have placed, and all 4 placed in their first starts. 1 at stakes place. Nationally ranked Broken Vows, having his usual outstanding year, listed among his 4 Grade 1 stakes winners is the brilliant 2011 Grade 1 stakes winner, Sassy Image. She's earned over $800,000 now. Broken Vow, a son of Unbridled, is a proven Grade 1 sire. So, too, the Sky Classic. Among his 59 stakes winners are 10 Grade 1 stakes winners. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classics is by the great Nijinsky II. For more facts about the Pin Oak Studs, just see the website at pinoakstud.com and inquiries to Clifford Barry.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do.
I saw the article that I'm talking to now, to my good friend Michael Blowen, and an article in the paper about Uberi and Noor.
Yeah.
Out there. And Don Combs was by here earlier, and he said he wanted to talk to you. We'll tell you some more about Noor, because he took care of him when he was at stud.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I can't wait. Well, of course, Don had Dust Commander, won the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, well, he trained him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But he was working for the farm. It was, what did they call it? The Shady Side, I believe it was. Over on the, well, it's Cobra now.
Yeah, he stood, I think he stood for 1 season in Kentucky.
Might have been just one, but mm-hmm. he
there's some great footage that's popped up of him with John Sheriffs when he was older. Okay. John Sheriffs, the trainer of Zenyatta, of course, and some other nice horses for Jerry and Ann Moss, was one of the last people to ever ride Noor. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, the woman named Charlotte Farmer became obsessed with Noor about 4 years ago when she found out that the rest of the Charles Howard farm out in California was going to be sold and developed. And she started working on getting... At first, she wanted to get Seabiscuit out of there. And I guess she ran into some trouble there. So then she took her attention to Noor, and she worked for 4 years to get it done.
Wow. And they never really knew exactly where Seabiscuit was buried, did they?
Yeah, they know.
Do they?
Yeah. I think he's
Well,
they think he's under a church. In fact, they're pretty sure he's under a church parking lot.
Under a church parking lot?
Yeah.
Well,
we're trying to dig up the damn parking lot, but I don't know how much we're going to have to raise to do that. Hey, we're getting more publicity for dead horses than the good live ones we have here. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, it's unbelievable. And she was fabulous when she first called me and asked me if he could come there, because the Hall of Fame in New York recommended that he be sent to Old Friends, which I thought was really nice. And so I said, yeah, of course he can. So yeah, we raised the money, got him here, and Charlotte didn't want to leave any piece of dirt there that might contain some memory of Noor. And so instead of just bringing the few bones that she found, she brought 3,000 pounds of dirt.
Oh, my Lord.
In a box,
yeah,
that was held together with screws.
And no telling what you buried out there.
So the day before... Oh, no, I know what we buried. And what happened was we got into the, removing Noor's box in the back of the pickup truck that they drove from California.
I'd love to have seen that.
Oh.
I'm just glad I wasn't there.
Yeah. So we had David Onan, who is unbelievable, helping us with all of this. He's just a great, great guy. He brought his Bobcat over. He dug the hole. I mean, he worked with us. And Kent Ralston and Charlotte Farmer's friend Willie, they all worked on it together, and they're all really smart. But they're trying to keep the box together so they can bring it from the back of the truck over to that grave, and all of a sudden it starts to creak.
Oh.
And you hear the screws start to pop. Now, they put the box down to rethink how they were going to approach this. And in the meantime, I did what any great Kentucky Colonel I am, you know. And I went into the house and I got a bottle of Woodford Reserve and I poured a half a glass for Charlotte. And I said, hey, Charlotte, you want any water or ice in this? She goes, no, I'll take it straight. Well, by the time she got through with the Woodford Reserve, she didn't care where we'd put that box.
So thank you
over there at Brown-Forman. What?
So much for the ride from California.
Yeah, exactly. But in any case, it went over there, and, you know, it fit perfectly into the hole, and everything worked out fine. It was a beautiful box on top. They'd had a laminated painting of the Charles Howard colors, mm-hmm, and Noor's name with a brass plate. And then the next day we had the memorial service, and it was really nice. Gary Park, who's the son of Burley Park. Burley Park was Noor's trainer. Burley Park is in the Hall of Fame, and his son's a really, really nice guy, and he actually wore the tie that his father would wear every time that he brought Noor to the racetrack.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was really nice. And then I went over and saw John Cox over at Thorough Graphics, and the Hall of Fame has given us permission to reproduce the Hall of Fame plaques for Precisionist, our Hall of Fame horse, and for Noor. And then in another couple weeks, we'll be able to have a ceremony. We're going to bury Skipaway.
Oh.
Because Rick Trance and Carolyn Hine are so nice, they gave us permission to move Skippy from Hopewell over to the farm so people can visit his grave as well.
Yeah, you're getting all kinds of Hall of Famers in there.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great thing. I mean, these horses deserve it. You know, I'd like to, you know, if anybody, you know, there's a lot of, and you know a lot of them, there's some, you know, there's some farms here that have been sold, and there's some graves that, you know, probably need to be displayed in a more hospitable fashion than they are.
Yeah.
It would be great, and people could all come and see them. And it's nice to have the official sanction of the Hall of Fame, too, I have to say.
Yeah. I think Don told me once, now maybe I'm off base on this, but Noor didn't have the nicest personality in the world. He was a little bit on the mean side.
Well.
But both those studs over there were...
That's because they didn't know me.
Yeah.
Well,
he couldn't do much to you when you got a hold of him. But... they had John's Joy over at that time, too. at the same farm.
Well, I tell you, the little bit of film footage that I'd seen of Noor out in that paddock, he was rambunctious. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Have you seen any films of him beating Citation out there? Do you have any?
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, a British Pathé newsreel.
Oh,
wow.
That's really fabulous. And one of the great things about it is the crowd. I mean, you know, standing room only, the cars packed in, everybody coming to see this race and just going nuts, screaming and yelling.
I think he set like three American records beating.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Three world records,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you just moved him up. First liar never has a shot, does he? All right, let me take a break here. Well, Grave One Stakes won the first defenses. First foals are yearlings, and if there was ever a young stallion with a license to sire runners, it's First Defense. He had brilliant speed and Grade 1 class, descends from a great sire line. His dam, the daughter of a great sire, won Grade 1 stakes, and she's a half-sister to two proven Grade 1 sires, and he's siring superior individuals. Check him out. Then check out his first crop yearlings at the Keeneland Sales. Now, if you'd rather purchase a yearling by a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, Miz and Mass fills the bill. In 2011, sales 2-year-olds by Miz and Mass have averaged over $103,000. Horsemen are well aware that he sires runners. Runners like Grade 1 Stakes Winner Mass Track, Grade 1 Stakes Winner Midships, Graded Stakes Winners like Jaboom and Madeo and Strike the Bell, Sea Speak, Tropical Light. More than 40 stakes horses a day, two just last month. Miz Direction in the Sandy Blue Handicap at Del Mar and Salary Drive in the $100,000 Dauphine Miss Stakes. Your odds are pretty good finding a runner with a yearling by First Defense or Miz and Mass. Both stand to Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Stay Thirsty, winner of the historic Grade 1 Travis Stakes, was bred by John and John Darren Gunther and raised at their Glenwood Farm over in Woodford County. Congratulations from their friends at McCauley Brothers. Congratulations also to Adina Springs, where the 1-2 finishes in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, Celtic New Year, and Bourbon Bay were foaled and raised. The goal at McCauley's has always been to provide the finest feeds and supplements in the world for the horse. And to do that, they devote 100% of their time, their research, and their resources developing products exclusively for the horse. And they were the first in the nation to do so. The success of such valued customers as Glenwood Farm and Adina Springs gives ample testimony to the quality of the McCauley products. So why don't you give Steve Baker and Mike Warren a call? Talk to them about your feeding program and how they can help. The number is 873-3333, and the website is McCauleyBros.com. And, of course, you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, August 20th at Del Mar, Santa Barbara Bendita 3-0 Philip Unbridled Energy takes a starter allowance test. August 23 at Hoosier, Square Energy, a 3-year-old filly, also from the first crop Unbridled Energy, wins a maiden special by 10 3/4 lengths. August 24 at Hoosier, another 3-year-old filly by Unbridled Energy. Wind Energy wins a maiden special by 7 3/4 lengths. August the 27th in Maryland, Unbridled Pride breaks her maiden in come-from-behind fashion, and then came right back to win an allowance race on September 1. August 28 at Arlington Park, Madam Mistletoe, a 2-year-old filly from the second crop by Unbridled Energy, broke her maiden going a mile on the grass. So through last weekend, Unbridled Energy had sired 28 first crop winners, 2 stakes winners, another that's placed in stakes, and they're winning at such tracks as Churchill Downs and Laurel and Parks and Calder and Ellis Park, Delaware, Hollywood Park, Tampa Bay, Arlington, Oak Tree, Hawthorne, Woodbine. They win wherever they're asked to run. Now, reason's enough now to take a close look at the Unbridled Energy yearlings at Keeneland. Unbridled Energy is a multiple graded stakes winner by Unbridled Song. Stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. I've got Dr. Doug Beyer with... is that your birth date and foaling date there, 1906 there, Doc?
Been predating.
You've got a T-shirt that says Byers, Oklahoma, in 1906 and 2006 centennial.
Yep, that was a 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
It's about a block long. Makes Midway look big.
Is that right, huh?
Yeah.
Do they have a stoplight or anything?
I think they got a flashing yellow. I mean, I think that's about as good as they could do.
Yeah, you've got a stoplight midway over there, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
We got a railroad crossing. We got a stoplight. Got a bunch of all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Skyscrapers, as a matter of fact.
There you go. Doug, what's our subject today?
Well, first of all, I'll start off, I'm a little disappointed. Good friend, Dr. Barb Dallop, is in town, and I wanted to get Barb to come over to the show, mm-hmm. and she's from New Bolton Center.
Maybe she's heard it.
Well, it could be.
I knew we shouldn't have ever put it up on the internet.
I'm standing here, sitting here next to Michael with his dancing shoes on, muck bucket.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
So, not even any dew this
morning. Yeah, right.
Okay.
But anyway, Barb is tied up. She couldn't make it over here. She's working on a talk she has to give later today.
Okay.
But anyway, I thought it would be good to get her to kind of give us a scoop on what's going on at New Bolton with the Barbaro Fund.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have an increase in Potomac horse fever down here this year. Not a terrible, but it's there. And, of course, those people in that area see much more of it than anybody, so it would have been good to.
I think Jackie announced there's one case down here now.
No, that's
West Nile.
Oh, West Nile.
West Nile.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew it was something.
Right. And the diagnostic lab put out a bulletin that West Nile had one horse from Fleming County, and an unvaccinated horse. And so it just tells you that it's still out there. And so we don't have as much of it because West Nile has become endemic to Kentucky, so which means that it blew through here and the resident population got pretty much exposed, so they have some natural resistance, even without the vaccination. And, of course, the key feature there is that if we saw a bunch of dead birds that the Fish and Game was reporting, blackbirds and things like that, then that would be evidence that the West Nile is concentrating again.
Okay.
But so far as I know, I don't think it does. And people should remember that West Nile, the mosquito bites the bird, then it bites the horse, mm-hmm. or it bites a human, and humans can get West Nile. Mm-hmm. And so a mosquito population spread, but the bird concentrates the virus in its bloodstream. The horse does not. Mm-hmm. So if a mosquito goes and bites a horse that's got West Nile and goes over and bites another horse or a human, he doesn't transmit because the virus concentration is too low mm-hmm. to transmit. So horses are more of a dead-end host, what we call a dead-end host, kind of like EPM would be the same sort of thing.
Okay.
Anyway, what I was going to talk about a little bit is Potomac horse fever, since there's an increase in that. And we see cycles in this area, and I think I've praised this area a lot for having less of everything, but we get a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So the Potomac fever was recognized in this area back in, I want to say, about 1987. And if you can remember, the media was producing information, when I say the media, Blood Horse and Thoroughbred Times, that River Downs had an issue with it.
Okay.
And there was a lot of flooding and a lot of rain that year. And there were a lot of cases from River Downs. But at the same time that they had a lot of cases there, there were some cases spread out from farms and had farms that had nothing really in common that we could recognize. So those horses would get a fever. Probably 60% of them would break with diarrhea pretty quickly or present with diarrhea or never break with diarrhea, and we call that an atypical enteritis. They've got fever, they got a low white count, they got all the things that would look like they're going to have a colitis, and yet they don't break with diarrhea. So we call that atypical. But a significant percentage, and probably higher percentage than with any other infectious disease that we deal with, would founder. And so we get laminitis with a large number, and that's why I kind of wanted to get Dr. Dallop to kind of take Potomac Fever and the laminitis and bring it all together for us, and maybe we can get her some other time. But anyway, they would founder, and some of them, significantly enough, that the death from founder was greater than the death from the disease. So to diagnose it, you run a blood titer at the diagnostic lab, or you run a PCR test, which is the polymerase chain reaction, which is a quicker diagnosis. The problem with it is it seems like all of these things happen on a Friday, and the diagnostic lab is not open. So, you know, he's got a fever and he's got diarrhea, and it looks at, Potomac fever can look exactly like salmonella. So what to do? We don't want to give tetracycline to a salmonella horse because we can make it worse, and we think we can make it worse. I'll come back to that little story in just a tidbit. But the veterinarians will see a lot of it, and this would be, again, where we'd want to lean on Dr. Dallop for her opinion. They've gotten to the point that they just give them tetracycline, and it's almost anecdotal, and they recognize that horses treated very early have a good or more favorable prognosis. And when I say anecdotal, the response to tetracycline is dramatic. So you give it to them. Now, the reason veterinarians are reluctant to use tetracycline, and this goes back about 40, 50 years, that in England there were some papers that were published for horses that went to the hospitals to have surgery. And they all, kind of like our scenario here, they would get a lot of salmonella. But they always used to use tetracycline as a pre-antibiotic for the horses. So then they did some population studies, and they said, well, you know, the horses that got tetracycline were the ones that got salmonella. So they made a connection, and it was an erroneous connection, that tetracycline caused salmonella. Well, in reality, the hospital could have been very contaminated, and those surgery horses were stressed anyway.
Yeah.
So they got salmonella, in which we can recognize today that we have salmonella around in a lot of facilities that don't use tetracycline. So, again, that kind of got that. So veterinarians just said, no, pal, let's just give them the tetracycline. And so the Potomac horse fever horses should be treated as early as possible, and kind of say, well, if they do poorly, if they've got Potomac fever and it's a Friday, and you're going to wait till you get a test result on Monday or Tuesday, you're asking for
pushing the envelope. Right?
You're pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and guts it and give them what you think ought to be done for the Potomac fever. There is a vaccine for Potomac fever, but it's not very effective. Too many different strains of that bug, and the bug is called neo-rickettsia, and a rickettsia is kind of cross between a protozoa and a bacteria, so it's its own family, its own world, and we appreciate that it's spread by snails. So the snail goes along the grass and deposits the organism, and the horse comes along and eats it. So you'd say, well, my racehorses shouldn't be at risk, and why would River Downs have an issue years ago? Well, the snails are going to go wherever the moisture and things like that are. So, again, we don't see a lot of it down here. Veterinarians would say, well, I don't know if this is what it is, but I'm going to treat him. And the prognosis would be favorable if you see a good rapid response. So, basically, the clinical signs are he doesn't feel good. He's got a fever, Potomac fever. He may or may not have diarrhea, but doesn't want to eat. And that's the first complaint you get. And so the veterinarian would say, well, diagnostic lab says there's more of it out there, and I'm not going to take a chance. So we treat them.
Very good.
Okay?
But one other thing before before you leave. Uncle Mo ran a hell of a race.
Well, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Rapoli ran a hell of it at the mouth too. So,
right.
You know,
he
was either not pleased because he got second, or he was pleased just to appreciate it. But I know Pletcher would tickle to death.
Yeah,
he ran a good race, and so.
Yeah, first time out in what, 15 weeks? Wasn't it? Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And, and off an illness and lost 150 pounds that he had to put back. And,
yep.
You know, so.
And what really got that horse right was Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Time and not getting him away and letting him heal.
Yeah.
So that was what. Because the liver is a great organism to get well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wait a minute. Let me take a break here. I got Don Combs over here. He's going to talk about Newer. All right. Well, they're 11 yearlings by Champion Invisor in the Keeneland September sales. 11 yearlings by the horse considered to be the best older horse to race in the USA since Spectacular Bid. A horse that was ranked number one in the world as a four-year-old and was ranked number one in the world at time of his retirement at five. Invisor was a horse of the year on two continents. He was never defeated in his native South America and never defeated in North America. He won 9 Grade 1 stakes, including an unprecedented 6 in a row. He won 2 of the world's most coveted races, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic at the direct expense of Bernardini and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup, and he retired with earnings of over $7,804,000. So take a close look at the Invisor yearling, starting with book one. Hey, Jackie. At the upcoming sales at Keeneland. Invisor is by Candy Stripe, sire also of Leroy DeSanimo, the sire of last year's Kentucky Derby winner, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot. Guess what's on special at Quill and Tack?
That's the reason I called you over here.
Your CD.
A date with Ralph.
You know, that's probably, we probably could offer up a date with Ralph.
Yeah, we'll throw in buy a CD, get a date with Ralph.
Yeah, it's Ursel's CD is on a special.
I'd rather have a date with Ralph.
Anyway, Ralph eats out a lot. If you like to eat out a lot, that's Ralph's your guy. They have got men's work belts and cob halter. There's a sale on cob size halters, which is nice. If you got a big old thing with a big old head or small head or whatever doesn't fit in between. They have got pink, blue, red, green, and black checkbook covers now. They're real pretty. You know, a lot of people are buying pink halters, too. Now, that's...
Ursula's,
you know,
that's not high in Ursula's
list. little girls love pink halters. Anyway, Quillen's Leather and Tack. It's
There's a lady came out here earlier that had a filly working with pink tack on.
I know. And see, she probably got it at Quillen Leather and Tack.
She said, here comes Pinky. I said, Kinky?
You got a pink
head on. Yeah. Oh, well, this is my hat from...
That's not pink. That's mauve. Come on. Please.
Excuse me, having a pink hat on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they've got about anything you want them to make at Quillen Leather and Tack. They can make it if it's in the... In the leather line, they make 17,000 plus halters a year. They ship all over the world, and you can order, and they'll ship to you. So let me give you his number in Paris. It's 987-0730, or go to Quillen, Quillin.com.
Well, last Saturday, Woodbine, the grade 350,000 Ontario Colleen Stakes, was won by Anne's Beauty, a 3-0 filly in the first crop by Artie Schiller. Anne's Beauty sprinted a mile and 1:33.3 to win going away, boosted her earnings to over $353,000. She won the $150,000 Dutch Stakes at Woodbine on July 30, plus the $150,000 Glorious Song last year as a two-year-old. Artie Schiller is also the sire of Mr. Commons, winner of the Oceanside Stakes at Del Mar and placed in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby and the Grade 2 Del Mar Mile. Bears Chill, winner of the $155,000 Queenster Stakes at Woodbine, plus 5 others that have placed in stakes, including Parting Woods, a filly that is placed in graded stakes at both Keeneland and at Belmont Park. That's 8 stakes horses in his first crop, 7 this year. Art Schiller won 6 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, earned over $2 million. He's by Champion El Prado, sire of European Champion Sire Galileo, sire of the winners of this year's Grade 1 Arlington Million and Grade 1 Secretary at Stakes. He's also the sire of Medaglia d'Oro, and Artie Schillo's dam is the multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner Hidden Light. How could he miss? Artie Schillo at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Well, they've got distorted humor over there, too, and we have one of distorted humor's greatest babies.
Which one have you got over there now?
Commentator.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Commentator. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got Don Combs here with me now, and he wanted to talk. He talked to me earlier this morning right in the middle of clocking.
This is so great.
I told him on the air earlier that you were when Charlie Kenny had Neuer over there at Stud, you were over there with him.
When I was in junior high school, I worked for Charlie Kenny. Actually, Harry Schmidt was a farm manager, and Neuer and John Joy stood there. I was in the eighth grade, probably, and I worked there in the summer. When Neuer came in, Neuer and John Joy, both, John Joy was really a mean horse. Neuer wasn't much nicer. They had a guy that took care of the studs named Sam, and he's a little fella. He'd missing two or three fingers, but I was there, and the first crop of Neuer, he had three fillies, and they were all in the sale. And one of my jobs in the summer was back in those days, you didn't have all those walking machines and all that stuff. I'd have to walk them an hour or so apiece. We had a big old tree out there in the field, which is no longer there when I passed by there, but I remember I'd walk each one of them an hour or so every day around that tree, getting them ready for the sale. And they also, and that same summer, I took care of two broodmares that belonged to Bing Crosby. And I said, when they sold, they sent me I got a $25 bonus, boy. For me, back then, in the early 50s, that was a lot of money, boy, me to get a $25 bonus. But anyway, that's when Charlie came there at Shadyside after he left Coldstream. He was a manager there for many years when they sold that. Now, that's before you went over to Stone Creek over to Paris. But Charlie was a really neat guy, and Harry was a really smart young guy out of college at that time, I think. We had some nice horses, and she had some nice clients. He had a lot of those good clients, Charlie did. But I saw that picture in the paper of Neuer coming off the thing and heard about that lady bringing him back, and I thought that's really neat. I said, well, you know, I know a little bit about Neuer. I know Neuer and took care of her first three babies that I used to walk him every day. So anyway, I was telling Ursula this morning about it. I knew Mike was over here, and I was going to run and tell him that I knew a little bit about Neuer.
So that's fabulous.
That's my life story with Neuer, but I know he was a nice horse.
Yeah, he was great. And I talked to Peter Fuller. Peter Fuller loved Neuer, and Peter claimed Neuer's image and bred him to Native Dancer and got Dancer's image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, she had placed in stakes.
Yes.
As a 2-year-old, Neuer's image had. And he claimed her. I think John Bell had her. John A. Bell III had her, and put her back in training because she was empty. And I think he claimed her for like $2,500.
Yeah, it was a pretty cheap claim, but he was all excited. Yeah.
And then bred her to Native Dancer, and that was a big time stud feat that time.
He got Dancer's image. How about that? And he won the Derby in 1968.
Yeah. Yeah. He finished first, anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He won it for a while.
I've got a book by it home that Mill Toby sent me.
It's a fabulous book. You read that, there's no question about who won the Derby, but that's all right.
Well, right. Okay, well,
the Yankees. See, they hold, you know, you got to give it, you know, you got to conclude about 2 feet in the photo in order to get your horse home first. I got something. Did you take your heart medication this morning? How's your ticker?
I check out fine. Why?
All right, because I'm gonna show you this article that just came out in American Turf Monthly. The greatest horse of all time.
Man of War?
The greatest racehorse of all time. He's in the top 10, but just barely.
Oh, geez.
See, that's what I told you. Yeah. Here he goes. He's going over the edge now, folks. Remember that old Red Fox show?
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Well, Jackie's still here, so I can't say that.
Well, let's see.
Who's this idiot?
Let me see. I do this again. This is fabulous. His name is Mark Schrager. His criteria. All right, here's the criteria. Did the horse excel as a 2-year-old, as a 3-year-old, and beyond? Could it run in both sprints and roots? Did it win major races? Did it carry high weights and concede weight to its rivals? Did it handle various track conditions? Did contemporary observers consider it to be of championship caliber? Did it run fast times and set stakes track and American records? Did it defeat other great horses? And are there other factors to be considered in evaluating a script? But anyway, should I start with number 10 and go down? Or do you want to know where Man of War is?
I want to know who he picks number one.
Dr. Fager.
Oh, Dr. Fager.
Number two.
Dr. Fager, where did they put his rabbit?
Huh? Well, that's what he talks about. He talks about when you need to have Damascus and Buck Passer as your rabbits, you must be a pretty good horse.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of his...
No, he needed a rabbit to beat him.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's the only way they beat him. And he says he lost the 1967 Woodward when trainers Frank Whiteley and Eddie Nalloy employed Speed Horse's Head of R and Great Powers tag team partners for Damascus and Buck Passer. He lost the 1968 Brooklyn when double-teamed again by Damascus and Head of R. But anyway, he's number one. You want number two is Kelso.
Go ahead.
He's starting to get very nervous now. Number three is Secretariat. Let's see. Number four is Seattle Slough. Number five is Citation. Now he better take his heart medication. I'm going to tell him. Number six is Zenyatta. Oh, look at him. Oh, we should only be on TV for 30 seconds. Number seven is Affirmed. Oh, here he is, number eight, Man of War.
Well, you know, opinions are like you know what. Everybody's got one.
But I thought I'd share that with you, just to give you something to think about.
Yeah, well, just kidding.
In fact,
Don has a picture of Man of War as a three-year-old up there.
I've seen all those horses you talk about, and also I saw Man of War when I was 9 years old. And he was the greatest horse I've ever seen.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, just look at him.
And I've seen all the others, too. Yeah. I've seen them and raced against some of them. And I've seen them, and I know the riders and the people and the trainers. And that's my opinion. But that doesn't amount to anything either.
Well, there you go. I'll leave this with you so you can study it for next week.
But he's my great horse.
Man knows my...
Hey, I think Dust Commander should be on that list.
Oh, no, he's on the Hot Top 100.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you all.
Well, the first foals by the young Spencer Stallion, Into Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful Yearlings. And all three are well represented at the Keenan Sales. All three have a license to sire runners, and all three were precocious at two. So watch for the two-year-olds to come out running. Into Mischief won grade one stakes at two, after running 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden. Came back at three to win stakes at 7 furlongs, won 20-1. Into Mischief by Harlan Holiday, sire of 10 2011 stakes winners. Notional sprinted 6 furlongs and 109 to break his maiden as a two-year-old, placed in graded stakes. Then he won 2 graded stakes and ran second to Scat Daddy in the grade 1 Florida Derby at 3. And he won graded stakes again at 4. Notional is by the grade 1 Millionaire in Excess, sire also of Indian Charlie. Tis Wonderful, the son of the great Tisnow, was undefeated at 2. Broke his maiden at Saratoga by 12.5 lengths and then won 2 graded stakes at Churchill Downs. So if you're a good shot at a fast return on your investment, check out the first crop yearlings by Into Mischief and Notional and Tis Wonderful. And did you happen to see Hot Summer's impressive win in last Saturday's Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes at Saratoga? Hot Summer's by Malibu Moon, who currently ranks 6th on the general sire list. Like Into Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful, Malibu Moo stands at Spendthrift Farm. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk a little bit about my friend Ron Wallace. Ron, hang on there just 1 second. Jackie's asking for money.
Yes.
And Ron, since 1995, has run Equine Farm Management. And what he does is he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms by doing that by making things workable and easily workable. And anyway, he has some great clients, and he's been doing this, like I say, since 1995. And some of his the clients that he's helped help develop their farms will include Elm Tree and Live Oak Stud down in Ocala, Paladies Investments up in New York, Autumn Winds Farm, and Redmond Road Farm over in Hurricane Hills right out here on the Paris Pike. I mean, the list just goes on and on. If you've got some virgin land that you want to develop and have it done right where everything will come easy to take care of your horses and he can do that for you, or he can make some changes on what you have and make it more workable for you. And he's He's, like I say, he's got some great people he's doing with. He can do it all. He can hire your help for you. He knows who all the good contractors are around here, the fencers, the people who build barns or whatever. He can take care of hiring your help for you. Or he can manage your farm. So if farm construction or property maintenance, day-to-day farm management, he can do it all. Equine Farm Management, that's equinefarmmanagement.com, and his name is Ron Wallace. Nice guy. Give him a call. Here's his cell number,
621-1685.
All righty. Jackie, what, one more announcement you want to put in there for... I got a couple of minutes to fill here before you run up to get something to eat.
I mean, it's getting hotter by the minute.
Hotter by the
minute. I was talking to my sister because the records, this heat we got right now, is not breaking any records. The records stand from 1954 when they had tremendous... drought in Texas and a whole bunch of hurricanes. It's like a repeat. I called her and I said, do you remember what we did? Did we die? Was it horrible?
1954?
Yeah, and we can't remember that it was that hot.
I wasn't in Lexington at that time. I wasn't in Kentucky. I don't think... I forget when they signed the stop shooting over there. Come on in, Chuck. I forget when that was exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't even notice. It was just a hot summer.
No, I'm fine. No.
Okay, this week is, once again, the Bluegrass Classic Cluster Dog Show.
I want to know what a cluster of dogs is.
I don't know. It sounds kind of crazy. Also going on is the Kentucky Classic, C-L-A-S-S-I-Q-U-E, Horse Trials. Next on the 6th starts the NRHA, which would be Reining Horse East Coast Championship. And on 9th to 11th, MSCDA, that's Mid-South Dressage and Eventing and Dressage Association. Yeah, there you go. Let's see, September 10th is a live Horse Live Aid Benefit Show out at Masterson. And October is the Buck Brannaman Clinic, Horses in Hope Trail Ride. This is First Lady Jane Brashear's thingy. Sunday, September 18th, it's for cancer, women cancer research, I suspect. That will be a day-long, hours-long trail ride in the horse park, which is great because you don't get to ride there most of the... You don't get to go where you want to go. And, wait a minute.
Okay.
One more. TOBA, Pedigree and Confirmation Clinic, Monday, October 10th, Tuesday, October 11th. In Lexington, go to www.toba.org or call them at 276-2291. And there's this fantasy handicapping game targeting younger people. You need to get a hold of Brett Jones because he's doing this thing. Oh, I'll tell you an announcement. Next week we're on at 8 o'clock, 8 till 10.
Oh, that's right.
Because the football game.
Pre-game show.
Pre-game show.
You hear that, Ressy?
So,
okay. We've got an appointment to...
Yeah, it'll be on from 8 to 10. We'll be here in full living color, 8 to 10. Also, Thurbin Farm...
Can't shut her up.
I'm the one's trying to shut him up. You know, Farm Manager's Manager of the Year, Sandy Hatfield. Yoo-hoo! Manager of Three Chimney Stallions. There will be a premier event to honor her September 30th at the Red Mile. I guess she'll bring Greg Magruder, her husband. You reckon?
If she's still putting up with him.
Yeah, she's still putting up with him.
Okay.
So we're all going to go to that. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, last Saturday at Saratoga, the Grade 1 $250,000 King's Bishop Stakes was won by Caleb's Posse, the 3-year-old colt. He's by Posse. Now, Caleb's Posse won at the direct expense of last year's juvenile champion, Uncle Mo, and to post his third-graded stakes victory of the year. Posse stands at Vinery, New York. But if you would rather stay closer to home, Posse's Eclipse Award-winning son, Kodiak Cowboy, stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Kodiak Cowboy earned an Eclipse Award as champion sprinter by taking the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, and the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. But, of course, he also won graded stakes at 2 and 3 for earnings over $1,663,000. Here's first foals knockouts arrived this year. Also at Vinery, Kentucky is Cactus Ridge. Sire, Don't Talk to Me, winner Sunday of the Connie Ann Stakes at Calder, a fourth stakes win. New York, Kentucky, Florida, Vinery has world-class facilities to help you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Boarding, breeding, sales prep, breaking, training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services, plus a highly successful racing partnership program. For more information, check the website at vinery.com. Our contact, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson, 455-9388.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, last Saturday at Saratoga, the Grade 1 $250,000 Ballerina Stakes was won by Hilda's Passion, a four-year-old filly of a Canadian Frontier. She sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22 flat to win by 9 1/4 lengths. Hilda's Passion has also won the Grade 2 Vagrancy, the Grade 2 Inside Information, the Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie. She set a new track record going 7 furlongs and won 22 at Gulfstream, and she's earned more than $739,000. She's the second Grade 1 Stakes winner by Canadian Frontier. Is No Such Word won the Grade 1 Gazelle and 4 other stakes last year for earnings over $653,000. In other stakes last weekend, Citizen Advocate, a 2-year-old filly, a proud citizen, posted her 3rd straight win to take the Catch a Rising Star Stakes at Calder. And Doug's Buddy, a 2-year-old colt from the second crop, a Badge of Silver, remained undefeated to capture the Birdcatcher Stakes in Canada. Canadian Frontier, a graded stakes winner, is by Gone West out of the graded stakes winner Barada Slough by Seattle Slough. Proud a citizen, sign of Eclipse Award winner in his first crop, and of 18 stakes winners, 41 stakes horses to date, and the multiple graded stakes winner Millionaire Badge of Silver, sign of 3 stakes winners, including a graded stakes winner plus a juvenile 2-year-old winner in his first 2 crops. All 3 stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The Airdrie Stallions are your key for racing profit.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear.
All righty, well, we're starting the second hour of this, whatever you want to call it, horse tails or a mess or whatever it is. I've got Chuck Peary with me. Get a little closer to that mic, Chuck. Big fella like you is going to have to. Do you ever play sports?
Yes, sir.
You look like you're an old football player, are you?
Yeah, I played a little bit.
Okay.
Just high school.
Just high school?
Yeah, just high school.
How tall are you?
I'm about 6'5".
That's what I thought. I know you came up here on the clocker stand. I had to look up. That's all I can. And I wasn't sitting down, so I knew darn well. Chuck is from out on the West Coast, and he's got a little asterisk in front of his name now for an import. Remember, they used to import horses from abroad, you know. They put an asterisk on it.
Right.
So they were imported.
Yeah.
He's imported from out on the West Coast, living down. I think you're living down in Woodford County now, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in Woodford County. We're out McCown's Ferry Road. We've got a little farm out there called Bella Vista Farms.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we've been out here. Actually, we're about on our anniversary here. Next week, it'll be 4 years.
Is that
since
right?
Since we came out here, yeah, it was after the last day of Del Mar. We packed everything up and headed this way, and we're working on the farm. It had never had a post on it. They just finished a new home, and we came in and did all the fencing and barns and loafing sheds and round pens and spent plenty of money when we got here. I'm probably in way behind for what I could get back right now, but we enjoy it out here. We just love Kentucky and the people, and being with the horses here, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you now. You're from the West Coast. I think you said, told me once, Washington?
Yeah, I grew up in Seattle, the old Long Acres track.
Mm. Is your family in the horse business?
Yes. My father and my grandfather, and then my wife's father and grandfather and brother-in-law, our fathers raced horses against each other, and the families have known each other a long time before.
Is that right?
Tracy and I ever got together. And so we've been married 33 years now and went on with the same torch and have been training horses ourselves.
So your wife was into horses too when,
oh,
yes, when you met her?
Her father's Clint Roberts. Her brother's Tom Roberts, who was a leading trainer at Long Acres and at Bay Meadows and Golden Gate. Tommy was for quite a few years there in the late 70s and into the 80s. Mm-hmm. Won a lot of races. They were racing families. Both the families. So.
I guess the first track you went to then would be Long Acres right there.
Long Acres. We'd go there every summer, and then we started going down to California to Bay Meadows in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they sold the old Long Acres track, we moved down to California full-time.
Oh, okay. You didn't move over to the new place, Emerald?
No, never raced there. I just, we went down. Emerald didn't happen for about 5 years.
Oh, there's a gap in there.
There was a gap, and they had a little bit of racing at a track that doesn't exist anymore, Yakima Meadows in between. And
where's Playfair?
Playfair was in Spokane, and it's also gone.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just a shame, actually, that it happened that way. But it did, and we kind of grew up going to those tracks, and Playfair was a little 5/8 of a mile bull ring, and a lot of fun as a kid. And
they can be fun, can't they?
Oh, yeah. I worked on the starting gate there as a kid for
did you really?
4 years there in Portland Meadows in the winter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But the racing there, once Long Acres was gone, it was kind of B-class, and we wanted to be involved with the better horses. And so we moved to Northern California and were there for about 12 years.
Where'd you live there?
We owned a home on the Golden Gate side. We owned a home off in Richmond, towards Point Richmond. It's right on the water there where the marina is.
Yeah, I know where it
real
is.
Real nice, 5 minutes from the track.
Yeah.
Easy commute for us.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it there for a long time. And then as we continued to get some better horses, we decided to go ahead and move to Southern California. We were there for about 5 years and enjoyed that. Ran Santa Anita and Hollywood and Del Mar.
Yeah. Getting back to Washington, did you know Ralph Vacca?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. No,
he used to work for the racing form here in Lexington.
Yeah, no, he was head of the I think, the Horseman's HBPA.
Yeah, I believe he
up
was.
Up there for years.
Yeah,
he was our guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah. Put out that magazine, that Washington Horse.
Yeah, Washington Horse, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy.
Now, did you all breed? Or
no, didn't no, breed? Never been involved in the breeding aspect of the game at all.
None of the family?
No, I'm a shed row rat. I grew up right in the racetrack, and that's as far as we ever got. We never, and still don't, I don't mess with the brood mares or any of that. I go to the yearling sale and buy our horses there. When they come to my place, I want them ready to saddle.
Now, back then, were you buying cowbreds?
Yeah, we tried to. We tried to, and the cowbred program is, boy, it's gotten good now. It's I think those maidens are running for about $70,000 out there.
Oh, wow.
70,000. And if you do have a good cowbred, it's a great program. But we just kind of got tired of, even though you're training at Santa Anita, when you go out the gate, you're in L.A.
Yeah, well, that's,
I had my wife living in a third-floor apartment in Pasadena. It was a real nice building, but riding an elevator and parking in the underground parking garage. And she grew up on a couple hundred acres in Idaho, so she's a little out of place there.
Idaho. Now, they've got some tracks in Idaho, haven't they?
LeBlanc Park is in Boise.
Yeah, Boise, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of...
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there as a kid.
A
lot of fun. The river runs through there, and you float the river, and all the baseball fields are right outside the barn area there, and the kids play baseball. You can go watch all afternoon. There's always four or five games going on, so it's a lot of fun. Not a lot of money over there.
No. But I just knew that there was a track.
Yeah.
I think there still is.
I think it's still there. I think they might have had a year where they didn't race, and then I think someone picked it up again and is trying to revive it as a racetrack. The Boise area is really growing. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a lot of people, a lot of young professionals in there. Yeah. A lot of the high tech
getting out of California, aren't they?
Oh yeah, no, that is one place that a lot of people went from California.
Yeah,
it's where you can still afford to buy a home, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area. That whole valley is just gorgeous where Boise is.
Let me get back to you, but I got to take a little break here.
Okay.
Pay the bills.
All right.
2 weeks of racing, two Grade 1 stakes winners, and then here comes another one, a Grade 2 stakes winner. All three sired by Warfront. August the 20th, Summer Soiree won the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. August 28th, The Factor won the Grade 1 Pat O'Brien. That's also a Del Mar. The Factor is making his first start in 19 weeks, facing older horses for the first time. Led every point of call and covered the seven furlongs and won 21-2. That was just 2/5 of a second off the track record. He's being pointed to either the Breeders' Cup Sprint or the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The Pat O'Brien was the Factor's third graded stakes win. He won the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes at Oak Lawn, the Grade 2 San Vicente at Santa Anita earlier this year. He also sprinted six furlongs. It's hard to believe. 106-4 on the dirt at Santa Anita. Now, the two-year-old, of course, was state of play, and Thursday, he won With Anticipation Stakes, which was Grade 2 up at Saratoga. He was bred by Arthur Hancock Stone Farm and his sister, Dale Hancock. So, leading second crop sire now, Warfront, with nine 2011 stakes horses. He's by Danzig. He stands at Claiborne Farm. So watch for the Warfront yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. Well, Indian Creek has long been a source of superior runners. They've sold six champions, four on four different continents. And just last weekend, The Factor, raised and sold by Indian Creek, won the Grade 1 Pat O'Brien at Del Mar. And a week prior to that, Noble Causeway, bred, raised, and sold by Indian Creek, won stakes in Canada. And Northern Causeway's half-sister, Gorgeous Filly by Bernardini, is hip number 824 at Cayman. But starting with hip number 45 in Book 1, and that's a colt by Medaglia d'Oro. That's a half-brother to J-Ray, a multiple graded stakes win of over 745,000. And moving on to Book 3, you'll find youngsters by such outstanding sires as Elwell. I'll give them to you in a minute, but they're all from great female families. There are two more colts by Medaglia d'Oro, including a half-brother to the Indian Creek graduate Magical Fanny. She's a Grade 1 stakes winner and a millionaire. And a half-brother to the Eclipse Award winner and Kentucky Derby sire Leroy Lasanamo. There are two by Tappet, both out of high-class stakes mares. Others by Spitestown, Candy Ride, Harlan's Holiday, More Than Ready, Street Sense, Elusive Quality, potential runners from superb female families. You'll find them in Barn 45, and remember the source, Indian Creek. And to ensure your purchases, contact the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, 987-1861. Ask for Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess. Indian Creek, selling the world's finest thoroughbreds. The Clay Ward Agency, insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds since 1931. Well, the leading sire in Europe, Galileo, stands at Coolmore Island. The leading sire in North America, Giant's Causeway, stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, as does the leading sire of two-year-olds, Taylor the Cat, and the leading freshman sire of two-year-old winners, Scat Daddy. Scat Daddy is the sire of 11 first-crop two-year-old winners, including Finale, recent winner of the Continental Mile Stakes at Monmouth Park. Ran a mile 135-1. He won by 10. And Four Stella Nature, winner of her career debut at Churchill, and placed in the Grade 3 Skylaville Stakes at Saratoga. So back to the list of leading sires. Four of the top 20 leading sires on the 2011 General Sire List stand at Ashford Stud. Giant's Causeway is number one, not only for money won, but for number of 2011 stakes winners. Taylor the Cat is ninth, Fusi Ichi Pegasus 13th, Grand Slam ranks 18th. Take that into account in your search for a runner at the Keeneland Sales. Look for a yearling by the Stallions standing at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. All right, I'm talking to Chuck Perry now, who moved over here from Keeneland, and talking about racing out in California, where he spent most of his life. Started out up in Seattle, up in Washington, and then moved down to Northern California. He was talking about Golden Gate and Bay Meadows, two tracks I've been to both of them. I really like Golden Gate. It was a fun track to go to. Bay yeah. Meadows, I went out there doing a fair, and most of the racing was quarter horses.
Really?
Yeah, but I know it was great racing at one time.
At oh, Bay yeah, Meadows. A lot of good horses have run there. That's you mentioned quarter horses. Has done, during the summer, now they have 2 weeks at all of the fairs at all the different towns that are in Northern California. And they'll race quarter horses, mules, happies.
Yeah.
it's a sight when you come around the corner with your horse and here comes a mule bouncing off the track in those big old ears.
Yeah.
yeah, they have a lot of fun out there.
I don't think they have that at Golden Gate, though.
No, just the fairs, They'll have them at Pleasanton, Stockton, mm-hmm. Santa Rosa. I don't think they race at Vallejo anymore. I think they took those dates and split them between Pleasanton and Santa Rosa, which are the two bigger towns where they draw the biggest crowds. And they put a turf course in at Santa Rosa now, so they get about 3 weeks of turf racing.
Oh, okay.
That they would normally miss.
I don't, I never went to any of those tracks other than Bay Meadows there and... Mm-hmm. I think when I was out there, they had just closed, what was the name of that other track that they had out there at Palo Alto? Tanforan.
Yeah. All that's there now is an old statue of Seabiscuit, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, it has a shopping mall. I never made the Tanforan track. Yeah. Bay Meadows, that's where we always went in the winter and started going, and liked it so much. It's just a shame it's not there anymore now either.
Yeah, it's up in the Bay Area there. Right? What's that, San Mateo?
Yeah, San Mateo. It's just across the bay, the little bridge down there, and they sold it to develop,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if they picked the best time to do that. But
not if they're doing it now.
it's a shame some of the tracks that aren't around anymore that just couldn't survive.
Yeah. I never went to Pomona. I did get to go to both Santa Anita and Hollywood Park. Saw some great racing back many years ago. Saw Swaps run.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I'm set a world record going a mile 16th.
Oh, wow.
And he was, in my estimation, one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
He was something else. And Del Mar, I like to say I was there when Shoemaker had the bug, but it was a little after that.
Del Mar's great. There's no place like Del Mar.
Yeah, it was pretty. I haven't been there, geez. It was back in the 50s when I was at Del Mar. The town wasn't very big then.
Now you're dating yourself a little bit.
Well, hell, everybody knows that. I've outlived everybody.
Well, that's a good thing.
I reckon it is, yes. So you all decided that you wanted to come to Kentucky. Why? What?
Well, we just we were there in Santa Anita, and that's where, you'd like to be to train horses. But like I say, we were a little tired of living in L.A., and our daughter had just graduated and got out of college and had a good job. And we'd always come back here and bought our young horses and loved the area.
Mm-hmm.
And decided, it might be a lot of fun to do. And if we're going to do it, we both turned 50. I said, we're not going to do it when we turn 60. So if we're going to go. And we came out here and we just really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed it. The people here are great. The neighbors we have out on our way are super.
Yeah.
And
Versailles is a nice town.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Versailles is a great town. And this is where the horses are.
Yeah.
For a guy like me, if I'm going to come up with a good one, it's because I'm here and working the sales hard and mm-hmm. meeting a few people and getting out these farms. And so we're here, and we want to stay here.
So you bought you buy your yearlings out at whatever sale, Facy, Tipton, Kentucky.
Yeah, all the sales, but mostly Keeneland. We bought most of them at Keeneland. We've bought right around 10 head each year. We've been back here now, and looking forward to sales starting this year. We have some clients flying out from mm-hmm. California and from Canada and Arizona. All pretty excited. This year we've got the tax break.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can write off, I think, 100% this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was reading it in the Blood Horse that came to the House yesterday, and I guess President Obama signed a bill that just for this year, they can write off 100% on the yearlings when they buy them, and I think the farm equipment, too. Like if you wanted to go buy a new tractor, and then it goes down to 50% next year, and I don't know what happens after that. It didn't mention it in the article. And then I'd visit with a few people about it, and they'd heard about it, that might really help boost us, get some new people in the business and the people that bid in.
Maybe. Have a little spurt there.
Well, you know, when it's an expensive game, and when you have an opportunity to write it off, and I think it was a smart move. It'll get people to play a little bit more.
Uh-huh. How many acres you got on your farm?
22.
That's exactly the size of my place.
Is it really?
Yeah, 22.
And it seems like 222.
When you go to mow it.
And weeding. Don't forget the weeding.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh. You can't get out of that deal.
Well, I got out of it. I get somebody to do it for me.
No, I'm starting to do that, too. I've been head weed eater boy at our place, and I've kind of started to slip out of that deal.
Can't you get your wife to do it?
Oh, no. I'll tell you, she's pretty good about mounting up on the old John Deere. She'll get on the tractor, and she'll mow, and she has a lot of work. She's got gardens and flower areas and stuff going on all over. She's a big antique girl, Tracy. We probably got 50 old wagon wheels, and we've got wagons and old cedars and old, it looks like an old... graveyard for farm equipment around our place.
The only thing I've got is about a 30-year-old Ford tractor.
Yeah. It's still running?
Yeah, oh yeah. I've got it. There's a guy down in Bourbon County where I live. All he ever worked on was Ford tractors, and he's about my age, I think. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, when either my tractor dies or he dies.
Hopefully they'll live long and they'll go together.
Well, that's exactly right. You're going out to the sales end looking for more stock, I guess.
Oh,
replenish.
Absolutely.
Going to reload, huh?
Going to reload. I mean, they're the future.
Yeah.
The babies, you know, and I'm excited about it. I think in looking at the books, it's a quality sale this year. There's a lot of good horses, and I think by... selling, 700 or 800 less this year?
Yeah.
I think that'll help everybody.
Yeah.
I think it'll make them work more.
What do you look for when you go out there?
Fast one.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm kicking tires. I heard you do the stakes recap and Celtic New Year, the colt that won the Grade 2 winning you're in turf race at Del Mar on Sunday. I bought that colt.
Oh, did you?
From Michael Jowell. Yeah, we bought him for $10,000.
Uh-huh.
And we had him here and broke his maiden first out sprinting on the turf and won a couple ounce races and then a little handicap. And then I was staying home for the winter, so we sent him out to John Sadler.
Should have kept him.
yeah, but it was the right thing to do. I trained quite a few for Mr. Jowell. Mike Jowell owns the horse, and I told him he was going to claim another horse out there. I said, I'll just take Celtic out. He said, are you sure? I said, oh, he's my best horse, I know, but he'll pay the way of these babies if you send him out there. They've got him, he's become a specialist now, anything over about a mile and a quarter on the turf. He looks like one of the better ones. You know, he's beat Bourbon Bay twice now. Yeah. He runs second to Acclamation, and... Mm-hmm. So, I was hoping he was a little better priced the other day. I was wanting to bet enough on him to buy a new truck, but I was a little shy.
Yeah. Well, you just didn't bet enough.
I know. I am such a bad loser.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind winning. That's a good time, but I don't gamble that much.
Yeah.
I'll play I've hit a couple of the pick sixes out in California. They get big out there, and once in a while I'll play them just for...
You ever hit it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You hit a pick six? Jackie asked him if he'd ever hit it.
Yeah, no, I've hit about three of them. The best one I hit was about 26,000.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah, better than your year. $90 ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lava Man ran that day.
Yeah.
And he was like 1-5, but he'd been off for about 2 months, and he was going a mile and an eighth, and I threw him out and had the winner and had another colt that was a first-time starter that we heard about. And had him in as a single, and he got bumped around the stretcher on second. Then I got my head hung, and then the inquiry sign went up, and they moved him up. So that's how lucky I've got to be to hit a pick six.
Yeah.
The stewards have to help me.
Right?
They did.
Any of them related to you?
No, sir. And I didn't say that if any of them are listening.
Okay. Oh, how many you got in training now, Chuck?
We've got 12 here, and I've got 7 more at home that'll come into training at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have about 20.
Yeah. Now, normally you're at Keeneland. You over here?
We've been at Keeneland since we came out here. It's close to our place,
you
know, and we run there. But I tell you, I'm enjoying being over here. Mm-hmm. I love the surface. I think horses, obviously with as many races as they're winning,
mm-hmm.
I think you told me in the last 2 months there's been over 100 winners.
116.
Yeah. Well, they're doing pretty good and getting mm-hmm. ready to go for the other tracks. This seems like a great place to get them ready. And so far, knock on wood, every horse I've worked has come out of the work great.
Mm-hmm.
Legs cold and tight, dog sound the next morning and happy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll move back over there or not. You might have to put up with me for a little bit
longer. Well, I hope so. It's been a pleasure having you. It's a safe track.
Yeah.
Leave on, Jackie.
Only closed one day and how long?
Oh, yeah. We missed one day of training in the last 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's hard to say anywhere.
Well, I know it is. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you could just come out and jog, but you could always get them out, you know.
It seems like the track crew does a fantastic job.
In
the little bit of time I've been here when we've had a couple of these pretty good rains,
mm-hmm.
I was amazed at how well the track was taken care of and how good it was the next morning. We were able to kind of go right on them.
Yeah, they'll work it all night, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, and now when it's dry, I think they had, somebody said they had put 46 loads of, big loads of water on it,
really?
Trying to tighten it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a little on the deep side,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's you have to sometimes have to back off a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you do, and they'll get fit for you now.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I call my owners in California and say, how'd the horse go? And, oh, he worked great. He worked 39-2. 39-2?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but it's really good here, you know, and they're getting a lot more out of it. You know, a lot of these tracks where they're getting those fast times, they're bouncing right over the top and not getting nearly the conditioning they could get here.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, I appreciate you stopping by this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's fun having you, and I hope you do stick around this winter.
Well, yeah, I might be here. You might have to put up with me.
It's just about another 15, 20 minutes.
No, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. It's not like a commute in California or
Where
the drive from Bay Meadows and Golden Gate, if they'd get out of your way, it'd take 25, 30 minutes. And when you get done running a horse at 5 o'clock at Bay Meadows, or used to, it'd take 2.5 hours to get back to Golden Gate.
Yeah.
With the traffic. That'll make a guy leave California right there.
Oh. Last time I was up that part, you said you lived in Richmond?
Yes.
Yeah. Went to a nightclub out there and listening to a Dixieland band, Bob Scobie's band, play.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
You were dancing and carrying on, I bet.
Well, we had a lot of fun. I had some buddies. I was in the service and had some buddies, and they were all from that area.
Oh?
A crazy bunch of guys. You know, I don't know why they adopted an old, you know, hillbilly like me. But they did. There's four or five of them, and they'd say, hey, let's go listen to this band. I'd say, all right, go in hell. We drive for 3 or 4 hours just to get there, you know. I'd say, what is this, you know? I was used to coming into Russell Cave Road, you know.
Right, yeah. Right. 20 minutes to anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Lexington,
yeah.
Right.
Chuck, thanks.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right. Well, grade one stakes winner First Defense is first foal to yearlings, and if there was ever a young stallion with a license to sire runners, it's First Defense. He had brilliant speed in grade one class. He descends from a great sire line. His dam, the daughter of a great sire, won grade one stakes. She's a half-sister to two proven grade one sires, and he's siring superior individuals. Check him out. Then check out his first crop yearlings at the Keeneland sales. Now, if you would rather purchase a yearling by a proven sire or grade one stakes winners, Mizzen Mass fills the bill. In 2011, his sales two-year-olds have averaged over $103,000. They sell because horsemen are well aware that he sires runners. Runners like Grade 1 Stakes Winner Mass Track, Grade 1 Stakes Winner Midships, Graded Stakes Winner Jaboom, Madeo, Strike the Bell, Sea Speak, Tropical Light. More than 40 stakes horses to date, including two just last month. Ms. Direction, she won the Sandy Blue Handicap at Del Mar, and Salary Drive won the $100,000 Dolphin Miss Stakes. The odds are pretty good on finding a runner with a yearling by First Defense or by Mizzen Mass. Both stand at Judmont Farm. Encourage Gerald Walker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Oh, Jackie, would you give me a rest and talk a little bit about my good buddy Tom? She's got a book she's reading over here.
Well, and I just bought some pretzels because it's so hot. I wanted some
salt.
Salt. Anyway, Tommy Biederman of BiedermanBrokerage.com That is BIEDERMAN brokerage.com. Has got a lot of really nice stuff for sale. You know, you see his sign everywhere. He's got, now what's he got down from us? He has
a couple of places.
Couple of places. About 2 miles down at Elizabeth Station, he's got that absolutely gorgeous place that with the wonderful roads. 50 acres, turnkey horse farm, developed by an outstanding horseman, improved all the time, and they have lowered this price. So that's just a really great place. He's got a place on Keene Road in Nicholasville that is, oh, this gorgeous, 25 acres, 3,200 square foot, two-story, four-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath, country living with city convenience. It's absolutely, that's a beauty. It's listed at $895, and good heavens, that's a buy. Great big old wonderful porch, and I don't know how old this house is, but it's classic. It's just beautiful. He also has 313-plus acres on Greenwich Pike. It's the Woodland Division of Dixiana. It was formerly Woodland Farm, and it's gorgeous. That's really nice land. You can't do any better than that land. 100 stalls, three 65-foot round pens, 3 to 6 horse equisizer, 4 residents, 5-acre lake, and that's about as uptown as it comes. Let me give you his phone number, 277-2030, or go to Biederman Brokerage, BIEDERMAN brokerage.com.
Sally Vance, a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
But not Griffin Farm, Harper's Island Farm, two great farms, both owned by the same guy, Tim Fitzgerald. The home place, of course, is not Griffin. He's had that, since 1994. That's 17 years ago. And he's raised a lot of good horses out there. He does it all there, boarding, sales prep, public and private sales, transactions, and rehab. Got quality farm help. That's because he came up under perfectionists like Dr. Michael Osmond and John Williams over at Spendthrift and Lee Eaton. And boy, if you learn, can satisfy those guys, you're going to be a good horseman. And of course, Jim, all he's ever done since he was born was fool around with horses. He's from Ireland, and went to the Irish National Study. He's just a quality horseman. And if you're in the horse business and you're not doing too good, or if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, well, get in touch with Jim Fitzgerald. He can give you some good, sound, common-sense advice. Somebody you can trust. He'd probably have fox hunting today. What do you think he's fox hunting today, Jackie?
Today is the Chris Ryan Clinic. Chris Ryan's MFH of some big hunt in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
He's having a 3-day clinic, so he's probably out there.
Well, Jim, of course, is from Ireland, so he probably is. Here's his phone number, though, and I'll give you his website, too. Bourbon County number, 987-8032, and excuse me. His website is notgriffinfarm.com, KNOCKGRIFFINFARM.com, and the man to talk to, Jim Fitzgerald. All righty, I think I've got my good friend Steve Moody with me today, who is going to give us the winner of the Woodward Stakes. Well, Sam, excuse me. Have you recovered from that football game yet, Steve? Yeah.
I had to take some no-dos to some of that, some of that energy drink that they're selling now, Red Bull or whatever that
is. Okay. All right, well, who are you liking the Woodward today?
Oh, well, Ursel, of course, they got a big card up there. They got 12 races today, 3 great ones. They're rerunning the personal engine, which got scratched washed, you know, canceled from last Sunday, and then they're running four go and into Woodward. So
yeah.
Three grade ones today. The Woodward is the 10th race, and a field of eight in there. It's a really, really good race. You know, I really like this filly, Hob de Grace. I just think she's just about as game as they come, and I really think the fillies are. Matter of fact, I think the fillies are better than the colts are. To tell you the truth, I take her a blind luck against the colts, the older colts. I don't think there's a one of them out there that's any better than either one of those two. And you know, she's a terrible price. That's the only. That's the downside of this. She's an 8-5 favorite, and you know, probably deservedly so. But you know, it's just boy, it's as much as I like her, and I'm going to end up taking her. But I, you know, like I said, I hate to take 8-5 with the filly running against the colts. But I just think she's extremely game. Mile and an eighth is. I think it's not a problem for her, and she's won three of her four starts this year, finished second, got beat by blind luck in the one race that she lost. I think she's going to be tracking the front runner in here, which probably figures to be Rule, the four horse, Todd Pletcher's horse, and I think he'll go to the front, and she'll be sitting off of him, probably in second or third, I would guess, and try to run by Rule in the stretch run. I'm going to give her the slight edge. I think Rule's going to be the one to catch when they turn for home. Flat out is really going good right now. You know, he ran a big race last time out, and he certainly could win it. But I think that Rule is going to be the one to catch. Hob de Grace is going to be the one that's stalking, and I'm going to be rooting for her, even though she's a lousy price in the Woodward. And, you know, after all these years, we've never had a filly win it, and we had one win it 2 years ago, and now we might turn around and have another one. So.
Yeah. All righty. Who do you like in the four-go?
Well, the four-go is a really tough race, Ursel. That's the ninth race on the card. Nine horses in the race, and you can make a case for almost everybody. The one horse Jackson Bend was extremely impressive last time out. He won the Jim Marvin on the opening day of the Saratoga meet, and was very, very visually impressive there. Just drew off from the field. If he runs back to that race here, he's going to be very tough. But that race was so good. You know, you kind of think he might kind of regress off of that that race today. The horse that I've settled on, I think maybe be a little bit of a price in here, is the 8 Regal Ransom. They gave him a little time off. He kind of threw in a clunker in the Stephen Foster last time out, and. But he's been working well for his comeback, and he's unbeaten at Saratoga. He's never lost there. He always runs really big over that surface. He cuts back to 7 furlongs. He'll rally off the pace when he's at 7 furlongs. He usually goes speed around 2 turns, but. I think you'll sit off the pace in here today. There's a couple of them that'll have speed in front of him. Sydney's Candy will show speed. Jersey Town has some speed. And so I think he'll be sitting kind of in a garden spot and try to come get him in the stretch run. I'm going to give him a slight edge to upset the field. We're going to go Regal Ransom, Jackson Bend, and Escrow Kid, 8-1-6 in the four go.
All right, Steve. Listen, I appreciate it. And I'm going to be rooting for that filly, too. I think she's a game filly. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, Earth.
All right. Well, there are 11 yearlings by Champion Invisor in the Keeneland September sales. 11 yearlings by the horse considered to be the best older horse to race in the USA since Spectacular Bit. A horse that was ranked number one in the world as a four-year-old, ranked number one in the world at the time of his retirement at five. Invisor was a horse of the year on two continents. He was never defeated in his native South America, never defeated in North America. He won 9 Grade 1 stakes, including unprecedented 6 in a row. He won 2 of the world's most coveted races, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic at the direct expense of Bernardini, and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup. He earned him $7,804,070. So take a close look at the Invisor yearlings, starting with Book 1 at the upcoming sales at Keeneland. Invisor by Candy Stripes, sire also of Leroy DeSodomo, sire of this year's Kentucky Derby winner. And he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, the first foal is by Grade 1 stakes winner Millionaire Spring at Last, or yearlings. He's well represented at the upcoming Keeneland September sales. Spring at Last won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, going a mile and an eighth, and he was a superior miler. He was never defeated at that distance. Ventured abroad to win the Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile over in the international field. Sprinted a mile 1:33-2 to win by 7.5 lengths at Aqueduct. Twice bested champion sprinter Midnight Loot. Met and defeated such Grade 1 stakes winners as De Hare, Bernstein along the way. Spring at Last is one of more than 80 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. And he stands at Windstar Farm, a farm noted for developing outstanding sires. Other Windstar stallions with yearlings in the sale, Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Bluegrass Cat, who had a stakes winner yesterday, Distorted Humor, he had a stakes winner yesterday, Harlow's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Spitestown had a stakes winner yesterday, Tis Now. For more information about the Windstar stallions, get in touch with Robin Hammond, 873-1717. Check the website, windstarfarm.com. Righty, I got a little bit of time. Boy, everything's just fans blowing everything here. Let's see. I want to do a little bit of history and talk about one of the two of the three-year-olds of 1957. I've hit most of the top weights, with the exception of one. And he was ranked up there pretty high, although he didn't run very much, and that was Federal Hill. Was in with 122 pounds on the free handicap at the year end of his three-year-old season. He was ranked under Bold Ruler, Gallant Man, Roundtable, General Duke, Iron Liege, and Clem, and just above Manto, Promised Land, and Vertex. So he was an awful good company. He was probably what most people consider to be the best crop of three-year-olds ever. And let's see, there's Manto I've got in Promised Land. And I know I've looked him up because, and here he is. Well, it won't take long. Didn't race very much as a three-year-old. He was by Cosmic Bomb, son of Pheromone II, out of Aerial Beauty by Aerial. Aerial was a speed sire, almost entirely a speed sire. Stood out at Mirworth Farm. Federal Hill was bred and owned by Clifford Lusky. Milt Reeser trained him. As a two-year-old, he was a real good two-year-old. He won 7 of his 13 starts and $155,000, which was a lot of money at that time. This after he had started for a $7,000 claiming price in his first start as a two-year-old. He had speed, no doubt about that, but there were some doubts about his stamina. He'd finished second, beating the nose in the Garden State Stakes as a two-year-old. Barbizon beat him by a nose. That was a mile and 16th stakes race. Barbizon was by Polynesian. Races for Calumet Farm. And went on to be a really very successful sire. Stood down at Warner Jones Hermitage Farm his entire career down there. As a three-year-old, he won the Louisiana Derby. Went a mile and an eighth down at the fairgrounds. Just beat a mighty mediocre field that day. Moved him over to Gulfstream, and he set a new world record, 6.5 furlongs, 115 flat. That was a Gulfstream Park. Then he ran out of the money in the Flamingo and the Florida Derby. Sent him up to Churchill, and he won the Derby Trial Stakes. He beat a sore General Duke. That was General Duke's last start, incidentally. And Better B ran third. Better B was by triplicate and went on. He stood at E.K. Thomas's farm, Timberlone Farm, down in Bourbon County. Side of Preakness winner, BBB, who raced for Mr. Will Farish, and Del Carroll trained him. Del's daughter, incidentally, is the veterinarian Lark Carroll, who does a lot of work out here. She does a lot of acupuncture and what's that other stuff, Jackie? Acupuncture and chiropractic work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, couldn't think of the word, having never had one done on me. But I've had acupuncture, though. Anyway, and she's really a good rider, Del is. So anyway, getting back, that's better. That's going back to general to Federal Hill. He ran fifth in the Derby, set the pace for the first three-quarter of a mile, and they probably shouldn't have run him back, but they did. He ran him back into Preakness and ran out of the money, came out of the race sore, and that was his last start of the year. But he was still ranked up there pretty high on that year-end handicap at 122 pounds. Cosmic Bomb. I remember Cosmic Bomb pretty well. He was a foal in 1944 by Fairmont II, a horse that had been imported from England by Mr. Hal Price Healy, Fairmont. Sorry, me now, incidentally. Cosmic Bomb was an excellent racehorse. Won the Arlington Futurity. He won the Cowden as a two-year-old. He won the Lawrence Relaxation. He won the Discovery, the Trenton, and the Romer Handicaps. Ran fifth in the Derby. That was, what Derby was that, 1947 Derby, that was Jet Pilot. He ran fifth. Let's see, it was Jet Pilot, Phalanx, Faultless, and On Trust, and then Cosmic Bomb. I don't think he got beat three lengths for all the money. Ran a good race. Cosmic Bomb was not much of a sire, to tell you. Well, he did sire a couple of things that were good. Well, of course, Cosma, who won the Astorita and was later produced the champion filly Tosma, was by Cosmic Bomb, and Tritium, who was a pretty good stay. He sired 11 stakes winners. But he was a broodmare sire Halo, so that put him in pretty exclusive company right there. I know Arthur Hancock would think so. So that's the story of Federal Hill. Well, the first foals by the young Spendthrift Stallions, In a Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful, Yearlings. All three are well represented at the Keeneland Sales. All three have got a license as sire runners. All three were precocious at two, so watch for their two-year-olds to come out running. In the Mischief won grade one stakes at two after running 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden. And he came back to three to win the stakes 7 furlongs and won 20-1. In the Mischief by Harlan's Holiday, sire of 10 2011 stakes winners. Notional sprinted 6 furlongs and 109 to break his maiden as a two-year-old, placed in graded stakes at two. Then he won 2 graded stakes and ran second to Scat Daddy in the grade one Florida Derby at three. And he won graded stakes again at four. Notional is by the grade one Millionaire In Excess, who's also the sire of the top sire Indian Charlie. Tis Wonderful, a son of the great Tis now, was undefeated at two, broke his maiden at Saratoga for 12.5 lengths, then he won 2 graded stakes at Churchill Downs. So for a good shot at a fast return on your investment, check out the first crop yearlings by In a Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful. And did you happen to see Hot Summer's impressive win last Saturday in the grade 3 victory ride stakes, that's at Saratoga. Hot Summers by Malibu Moon. He currently ranks 6th on the sire list. And like In the Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful, Malibu Moon stands at Spencer Farm. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffey and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do.
Well, the weather might be clear, all right, but I tell you, it's hot.
Well, and they're working the track. They're sealing the track in anticipation of the rain.
Yeah. I hope
every time they go by, we have to jump up and close the windows. And I don't know if it's colder with them, hotter with them open or closed. My gracious, it's hot.
Well, I've got time. I've got 5-6 minutes here. I'm going to read something. You through with your announcements? You got announcements? Or?
Yeah, no, I'm finished.
My voice holds up, I'm going to read something by Joe Palmer. It's called Truth is Mighty. It is perhaps oversensitivity which causes this department to suspect the beginnings of a smear campaign in the fact that several sources, including my own home sheet, have referred to me lately as a horse lover. This is a canard, at least a mezzo-soprano canard. I have thus far loved one horse in my life. And this was a saddlebred mare named Daisy that used to ride bareback on the McDowell Speedway when I was 9 years old. And the mare was not much younger. Since then, a certain fondness and even sentimentality has been spent on a number of horses, such as Equipoise and Blue Larkspur and Exterminator and Man of War, and in these later days on Assault and Devil Diver and Stymie, Elkridge, and a few others. I think what made me like Devil Diver was that he agreed so perfectly with his trainer. When he had to carry high weight in a long race, he was not safe to approach. The difference was that Mr. Gaver attained this peak when the weights were announced, whereas Devil Diver waited until the race was over. There are a few racing stories which can never be told without a certain tug at the emotions. Classics among these concern Dark Secret, which splintered a leg, a 16th out in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but won it nevertheless with a stouter racer as Farino at his head. And Chase Me down on the track, because when he tried to go to Equipoise in a Metropolitan Handicap, he gave it more than tendon and bone could stand. And to see Rouge Dragon stand off from his fences was to hear the distant crash of cymbals. But all this is merely to say that in racing, as in other sport, one must admire brilliant performance and high courage, however shown. The intention was to get through this without paraphrasing James Thurber's line about dogs, but it seems impossible. A horse lover is a horse that is in love with another horse. In the main, the actual racing of horses around a track is an economic necessity which makes possible the existence of a small and, I think, very pleasurable world, which is populated more by men and women than by horses, just as bridge or canaster is an excuse for the assemblance of people who like each other's company but do not trust their unaided powers of conversation. It is necessary to get out from 7 to 9 fields every afternoon to take money from people who would otherwise spend it foolishly, but the real fun of racing lies elsewhere. Put a crowd of racetrackers together, and they will talk about horses, to be sure, but the horses will be used, as they are in most good racing fiction, merely as symbols which bring out very human rivalries and deceptions and strategies of a game which does not ever actually end. It is a game played with such extreme gravity that many parties to it ultimately forget that it is a game and sometimes confuse themselves with normal people. But at this, they can always be caught out, as was illustrated in the dusty story about the famous Andrew Jackson Joyner when he was put at the best stand in a deer hunt in the Carolinas. A deer broke through the underbrush into the clearing, and Joyner instinctively reached for his stopwatch instead of his shotgun. During the First World War, artillery authorities at the Aberdeen Proving Grounds wanted to know the speed of some new shells. Nowadays, of course, a Missourian would be appointed as head of a National Shell Flight Authority, and it would get reports on the very best instruments in 8 months. In 1917, life was simpler, and the Army merely sent over to nearby Havre de Grace and borrowed a few clockers. who started their watches at the roar of a gun and stopped them at the sight of the distant explosion. This was explained to the owl, veteran of the Cockers, who took the news with suspicion. "The governor ain't going to get none of the best of that," he said. "Them boys will hold out all the fast ones just like they do on their papers." There was another incident, which I have to fuzz a bit, because the participants are still alive, that indicates how a certain well-bred skepticism may become a trainer. An owner had died, his son inheriting the stable. As a matter of custom as well as respect, the stable's horses were scratched. But a week or so later, the trainer put one of them in. That night he had a call from his new owner, whom he knew only slightly. "I don't think we ought to run that horse now," the owner said. "Well, Mr. So-and-so," said the trainer, "I think he can win." "Maybe you can," said the owner, "but it's still pretty close to the funeral. Let's take him out and wait a little longer." "All right, if you say so," the trainer agreed, reluctantly. So the horse was withdrawn. A week or so later, it developed that the owner hadn't known even that the horse was entered. The caller was the trainer of the second-best horse in the race who, with the dangerous opposition out, went ahead and won it. This will never be offered as a model of ethics in any courses on that subject, but it illustrates the interplay of personality and originality, which is to me the real interest of racing. Just as a man is allowed to grunt disgust when he picks up the fourth king in a poker game, so he is allowed to lie cheerfully to his friends about his horses. The races themselves, except for the very big ones, are just the laydown after the maneuvering is over. That was Joe Palmer, obviously written during the Truman administration, because he talks about hiring somebody from Missouri to go do something.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. All right. And that was about Joe's, Truman's time, right? The late 40s, you know, going into the Korean War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
His second term. I know that because I'm reading a biography on Herman Truman.
I know.
On Truman. That's a good, great one, too.
Big fat book.
Big fat book
takes a long time.
Yeah. What are you doing?
We're on from 8 till 10 next week, WLXG.com. You can go there and get an app and hear it on your iPod, iPad, you pad, he, she, it pad, for all I care. And we have a new guy doing our webpage, and hopefully this show and last week's show will be up right after the holidays. Tip the weekend off.
All right. And, let's see, we have had 11 winners since last week's show. Oscar Modica, Helmut Jackson, Tommy Mills, Bobby Sturgeon, Josh... Oops, that's wrong. Sorry about that, Tommy. Let's see, John Gaber, Paul McEntee, Wayne Mogi, Mark Hubley, Paul McEntee again, Wayne Mogi again, Scooter Hughes, Mort Shirazi, and Paul Brown, all saddle winners since last week's show. 116 winners in the last 2 months from the Thoroughbred Center. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock tomorrow, next week.